At the United States Postal Service, we deliver fast and affordably for small biz, big box, large scale, wholesale, retail, B2B, B2C, ASAP. USPS, delivering for America. Learn more at usps.com/delivering.
Whose idea was hot yoga? Am I supposed to sweat this much? Do I smell? Please don't smell.
Odor is hard-earned, and eliminating it is easy with OxiClean Odor Blasters. OxiClean Odor Blasters penetrates and removes the sweaty, unexpected smells, especially the sweaty, hot yoga smells. Whew. So let your body do its thing. Sweat out of every pore until you shavasana. Click now to get OxiClean Odor Blasters and eliminate body odor from every laundry load.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of Striving for It All. This is the show that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the WNBA. Coming up on this edition of the program, we'll have your latest scores, highlights, current league leaders, standings, and the player of the week and month, as well as the coach and rookie of the month in the WNBA. And plus, we have a recap of the 2022 WNBA All-Star Weekend. It was fun, filled with exciting moments, and of course, a spectacular All-Star game that was a swan song for two of the greatest in women's basketball, Sue Bird and Sylvia Fowles. That's coming up on this edition of the program. I want to start off with my top three storylines. I want to start off with Brittany Griner. Here's the latest on what's going on with Brittany. Recent reports have come out that Brittany pled guilty to drug smuggling charges. However, Brittany said that she had the hashish oil, possession of the hashish oil. It was an accident, and she did not mean to do it. For those of you that, again, may not be familiar with her situation or still trying to stay abreast on what's going on with Brittany, basically, in layman's terms, here's what happened. In February, Brittany was detained at an airport in Moscow in Russia. Of course, Brittany plays in Russia when the WNBA is off-season. Brittany has been playing overseas for quite a while now to supplement her income. Long story short, Brittany was detained at the airport in Russia, and cartridges of hashish oil was obtained from her suitcase when they were doing customs, and they were doing the search. The customs agents wind up finding cartridges of hashish oil from her luggage, and as a result, she was arrested, and she's been in Russia since February. Now, for those of you that may not be familiar with how international laws work, particularly with the drug laws in Russia, if you have a certain amount of grams of cannabis or anything related to cannabis, if you have over a certain amount of grams, you can get up to 10 years in prison for drug possession, particularly dealing with cannabis in Russia. Well, recent reports have come out that Brittany had under a gram of cannabis. Matter of fact, the exact number was 0.7 grams. As a result of that, if you have under 6 grams of cannabis, according to the law in Russia, you pay either a fine and you get 15 days in detention. Well, fortunately, Brittany had under 6 grams of marijuana, but again, you know what the political landscape is currently going on in our world with the Russia and the Ukraine invasion. Brittany has been held overseas. She's been detained in Russia since February. And recently, Brittany pled guilty to drug smuggling charges. Now, she did recently write a letter to President Biden maintaining her freedom, saying that it would be nice for her to be home. She wants to be home in America. She feels like she's been there forever, and she can't take it another day. She's doing the best that she can. But, man, this has been such a very wild and a very interesting situation, not just from a basketball standpoint, but most importantly from a political standpoint and from a human rights standpoint. The president recently wrote back to Brittany saying they're going to do all that they can to try to make things happen where they can bring her back to the United States, bring her back safely. And, of course, Brittany Griner was the highlight, one of the many highlights of this year's WNBA All-Star Week, and particularly in this year's WNBA All-Star Game, where all of the players wore number 42 in honor of Brittany Griner. That's Brittany's jersey number. And, of course, they spread the word about Brittany's plight in Russia and the efforts to bring her home. Matter of fact, All-Stars Arike Ogunbowale and Skylar Diggins-Smith spoke on the Brittany Griner situation.
I think the W does a great job. I mean, we have Brittany Griner masks. We have 42 on our shirts. And I'm sure, you know, the rest of the league and people are wearing things with BG. But obviously she's part of our family, and our number one priority is getting her home. She shouldn't be there. She's been there too long. So obviously we're going to talk about her any chance we get. And this is a perfect time. You know, ESPN, ABC, we're on, you know, prime time. So anytime we can say her name, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, obviously, that's on our minds. That's our priority in this league. You know, we talk about we are BG and what that means to us, to trying to embody her spirit, carry her legacy on, and just stay alert for her as far as what we can do in our efforts to help bring her home and really get that message out there.
All right, that audio courtesy of the WNBA, and Arike Ogunbowale and Skylar Diggins-Smith just speaking at this year's Media Day at the WNBA All-Star Weekend in Chicago, just speaking about the plight of BG, Brittany Griner, and continuing to make note about the plight that's going on with her and to bring her back home safely. Again, the WNBA has done their part. Even a lot of players from the NBA have made it known about bringing Brittany back home to the United States. And again, it's a very sticky situation when you're dealing with not just things from a political standpoint, but also from a human rights standpoint as well. Again, you got to remember about how very strict the drug laws are in Russia, and not to mention, again, about the turbulent political climate that Russia is undergoing right now with Ukraine and the invasion, and also with Russia involving a lot of other countries in this. Again, Brittany Griner, again, the plight is still real, dealing with her. And, of course, President Biden has reached out to her. She reached out to him first, and then he wrote back to her. And then, of course, Corinne Jean-Pierre, that works in the Biden administration, saying they're doing everything that they can to try to bring Brittany back home safely. I know Bill Richardson, who also works in the State Department, he's been known as a political bigwig for bringing home a lot of Americans that were prisoners of war and being involved in international and a lot of terrorism incidents. He's going to be involved in this as well. So, again, let's just stay tuned to keep our eyes and ears open to this situation dealing with Brittany. So, again, the latest on Brittany is that she recently pled guilty to drug smuggling charges. Again, as you know, according to Russian law, if you have under 6 grams of cannabis, at the most you pay a fine and you only get 15 days of detention in a Russian jail. But again, we know a lot of the political bantering that's happened, a lot of with Russia and Ukraine and other countries involved in this. But again, we'll pay attention to this situation and continue to address the plight of what's going on with Brittany Griner. And again, I mentioned earlier about the highlights of this year's WNBA All-Star Game, not just with the situation going on with Brittany Griner in Russia, but also my next storyline, Sue Bird. I mean, what can you say about Sue? 5-time Olympic gold medalist, a multiple WNBA champion. Also, she's had a banner college career at UConn. She's just had a great professional, not just a great college basketball career, but a great professional basketball career. And Sue Bird, this was her 13th WNBA All-Star appearance. Yes, this is a record, 13 WNBA All-Star appearances. And what can you say? Just a model of consistency through and through, a member of the WNBA 25th anniversary team, just been doing her part. Member, not just a member of the WNBA 25th anniversary team, but also a member of the 10th, 15th, and 20th anniversary teams. And you talk about just a model of consistency. Sue Bird playing a point guard position. Her leadership skills have just been phenomenal through and through. And her Seattle Storm teammates, Jewel Lloyd and Brianna Stewart, at the media day at this year's WNBA All-Star Game, talked about the legacy of Sue Bird and making a mark on the next generation.
You know, I think we've learned, and we're still learning from Sue. I have a big notebook of stuff that she's taught me over the couple years, you know, it's nice and thick. And
I saw that.
Yeah, I should. You know, I think, you know, we want to make sure that we continue her legacy, you know, and our legacy. And I think that's just treating the game with respect, going about everything as professional as possible, but adding our personality in it as well. And I think we're doing that now, obviously. Obviously, Stewie Shue, making sure you guys will get it, as well as mine. But so things like that, I think that's the evolution of just who we're becoming, but we learned a lot from Sue. And we're trying to do our best to make sure we can sustain that and then hopefully pass it on to the next generation of hoopers.
Yeah, I mean, going off of that, I think, you know, just understanding all that Sue has done for the game and appreciating that and also sharing these moments with her and being genuine and making sure that, you know, as we continue to strive for more in the WNBA and the more for women in sports, things like that, that, you know, we are honest with who we are and what we do, and at the same time, putting the league and endorsements and companies in uncomfortable positions that maybe they haven't been in before, where they need to get to, so then we can set the standard for something new.
All right, again, that audio courtesy of the WNBA and Jewel Lloyd, a.k.a. the Gold Mamba, and Breanna Stewart just talking about Sue Bird's impact, what they've learned from her, and also what path that she's led in being one of the premier players in the WNBA, and just her leadership skills, not just on the court but off the court as well. And definitely Jewel and Breanna giving big props to Sue Bird. And also, next storyline will be another player that's going to be retiring this year, Sylvia Fowles. We talk about the consistency of Sue Bird, but we cannot mention about the consistency of Sylvia Fowles, a multiple WNBA champion. She's also been a finals MVP, a league MVP. She's also won 4 gold medals as well. She had a great college career at LSU. And just, I mean, Sylvia Fowles is the definition of not only a great inside presence, but her defense has been so phenomenal as well. And also a 2-time blocks leader, also a multiple rebounding champion. She's currently the WNBA's all-time career rebounding leader. She has been the benchmark when it comes to playing in the inside, playing the post, playing the center position. And not only to talk about the legacy of Sue Bird, but also to talk about the legacy of Sylvia Fowles as well. During the media day, during the All-Star game, Ariel Atkins representing the Washington Mystics, Jonquel Jones from the Connecticut Sun, and Skylar Diggins-Smith from the Phoenix Mercury talked about the legacy of not just Sue Bird, but also Sylvia Fowles.
My most, I guess, memorable memory with Sue is when we won the gold medal together and she put the medal on my neck. That was pretty special for me, just because I've been growing up watching her play, and then to be able to play against her and just learn from her, it was a pretty special moment. And then with Sil's just such a mama bear. She's actually helping me figure out how to put a garden in my kitchen. So, yeah, I mean, that's a fond memory I have of her, because she's been really helpful with that for me.
She does her thing. I think Sil is Sil, and I don't think anything rattles Sil or gets Sil out of who Sil is. But, yeah, for me, she was that center that, you know, I look forward to playing against, and she's just been so dominant, and yeah, she's been still her entire career. And so I've been saying it the whole time that I've been doing media, this entire All-Stars desk, I'm happy to be able to say that I'll be, you know, playing in what will probably be her last All-Star, her and Sue, and what they mean to the league, and yeah, just all their contributions to the game of basketball. Like, it can't be, you know, you can't overstate it, because they've done so much. So I'm happy to be a part of that. But, yeah, Sil is a legend, her and Sue, and I'm happy to be a part of this.
Maybe not against, but with last year in the Olympics. That probably was the most time I spent with, like, both of them. Like, throughout my years in the league, always been to camps, been around them, but not as that much time. And just when you talk about destinations, it's like a reason why people are successful is their habits, is things that they build over time that they consistently do, and you see why certain people are successful, and just their leadership, how they handle themselves, their professionals, their teachers. They're not afraid to, you know, bring up the next group. You know, they got that nurturing spirit, but they'll get on you at the same time, and you just love how they compete. So it's just that nurturing spirit. Obviously, their wisdom of just being able to play in this league that long, that doesn't happen, and to all their success, all their Olympic gold medals, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure we won't really appreciate that full value until they're gone. But just enjoying the moment, and obviously it's always been a pleasure competing against them, and yeah, it's going to be different without them.
All right, again, that audio courtesy of the WNBA, Ariel Atkins, Jonquel Jones, and Skylar Diggins-Smith talking about the consistency and the wisdom and the value that Sue Bird and Sylvia Fowles brought to the game of basketball. Let's stay with Sylvia for a moment. Asia Wilson. When you look at Asia Wilson, you can see the impact that Sylvia Fowles has had on her. When you watch Asia Wilson play, whether what Asia was doing her thing at the University of South Carolina and currently what she's doing in the WNBA as a member of the Las Vegas Aces, you can see that Asia, and you watch her play, definitely impacted by Sylvia Fowles. Here's Asia's comments on the impact that Sylvia has had on her career.
I'm always going to probably be one of the first to give Syl her flowers because Syl has mentored me in a way that she probably doesn't even know. Just coming into the league as a big girl and watching that has been amazing. The things that she's done in this league is incredible. And to still have her body, like, it's magnificent to look at. Like, I hope I can look that good headed into retirement. But, no, Syl's game and to be her teammate in the Olympics is truly special. Like, it's one of those things where Syl just gonna always put a smile on your face. We don't call her Mama Syl for no reason. Like, the nurturing of it, she understands how to talk to us. And I love that about her. And I'm going to miss her. I'm glad that I could get her on my team to be able to play with her one last time because she was with me in my first Olympics in Minnesota. We were teammates. So it's kind of full circle moment. So I really love that. And we're definitely going to miss her. But I'm glad I get one last go around to play alongside her.
All right, that audio courtesy again of the WNBA and Asia Wilson playing for the Las Vegas Aces, giving mad props and respect and giving Sylvia Fowles her flowers, as rightfully so. And we're going to get more into of the WNBA All-Star Weekend, the game, also the skills competition and the three-point shootout a little bit later on in the program. But let's get now to the week that was in the WNBA, starting off on Tuesday, July the 5th. It was the Seattle Storm going up against the Indiana Fever. It was all Seattle. Seattle would win 95-73 for the Storm. Jewel Lloyd, a.k.a. the Gold Mamba, one of my favorite players in the WNBA, she had 25 points. Gabby Williams finished with 14 points. You also had Tina Charles, the newest addition to the Seattle Storm after she spent much of the first half of the year with the Phoenix Mercury, was asked for a release, and she was claimed off of waivers. Tina finished with 13 points. Also, Gabby, as I mentioned earlier, Gabby Williams had 14 points. Breanna Stewart had 12 points, and Ezzy Magbegor had a double-double with 12 points and 11 rebounds. Again, the final score, Seattle 95, Indiana 73. And also, we had the Connecticut Sun going up against the Dallas Wings. Dallas would win 82-71. For Dallas, point guard Orike Ogunbowale, one of the best in the league, finished with 20 points. Satu Sabali and Tierra McCowan both finished with 14 points. And Marina Mabry and Alicia Gray both had 12 points. Again, the final score, Dallas 82, Connecticut 71. Let's move along now to action from Wednesday, July the 6th. Between the Chicago Sky squaring off against the Minnesota Lynx. It was a close game, but Minnesota would win by 3, 81-78. Ariel Powers had a double-double with 22 points and 11 rebounds. Kayla McBride at 15 points. Sylvia Fowles finished with 14 points, and Jessica Shepard had 10 points. Again, the final score, Minnesota 81, Chicago 78. We have the Washington Mystics square off against the Atlanta Dream. Washington would easily beat Atlanta 85-66. Elena Deladon had 26 points. Maisha Hines-Allen had 14 points. Natasha Cloud finished with 13 points. Shatori Walker-Kimbrough had 12 points, and Ariel Atkins finished with 10 points. Again, the final score, Washington 85, Atlanta 66. And we had the New York Liberty going up against the Las Vegas Aces. The Liberty would beat the Aces 116-107. All-star Sabrina Ionescu, she showed up and she showed out in this game. Sabrina got her third career triple-double, tying a WNBA record for the most career triple-doubles with Candace Parker. And she became the first WNBA player in history to record a 30-point triple-double. Here's Sabrina in action.
That's a big area of focus for the Aces also. What are they giving you? Sabrina Ionescu trying to find some room and hits that little mid-range jumper. Ionescu guarded by Plum. High screen from Dolphin.
Oh, that might have been a movement screen.
Oh, and it hurts. talent. July 10th in Chicago. And the shot on the inbound wouldn't fall. Ionescu, high arc or good. So forcing the miss, and they get something out of it. There's Shu, boy, above everybody. There's no chance in blocking that one.
Las Vegas Aces,
where they have been listening to what everybody's been saying, and finally Sabrina Ionescu stops the bleeding. Seven boards. Ionescu using the screen, money. Sabrina Ionescu does what she does so well.
We can't talk about her being left-handed anymore.
No.
Because that was a strong, powerful move to the right.
That was full-on right hand, straight up. Richards behind it. Wilson out running. Oh, help D by Dede Richards. Part of the all-rookie team last year. Ionescu well behind the arc, feeling it. That would have been a good one to maybe get her going. She's been pretty quiet. 0 for 3 for Hamby. And no hesitation, Johannes, she was quiet in the first half. She's getting going early. Gray takes it in at her, no foul call. Liberty looks to push. Howard with the last bucket. She's got 9 points, and now a three-point dagger by Johannes. Sure is, as the Aces have gone with that longer lineup for a while. They have Repair and Wilson, and they can't get out on Wickham, who strokes the 3 points. And rebound for Shu. And the Liberty out running have cut it to a three-point game. Shu trying to set the screen. Ionescu just needs a little bit of space to stick it. The three ball ties this one up. That perseverance by Dede Richards. Nobody was holding her down.
I was watching that game, Baylor playing against UCF, and when she checked in the game, I cried.
Oh, absolutely.
Go through the rim from the three-point line. She has not made a three in the last 5 games.
Yep. Tasha Howard not afraid to pull the trigger out there. Liberty come in off of back-to-back losses. A loss at Atlanta.
Ball screen and handoff.
Shu, help D coming over. Ionescu has enough time to stick it.
Yeah. Hunsu has been a problem for the Aces inside.
Oh, and another three.
She just sees the floor and finds the option.
Oh, and the shot's just falling for the Liberty.
Possibly look at, in this situation, bringing a press up and trying to force turnovers.
MFS Investment Management. Our active 360 approach to fixed income goes beyond analyzing financials. We combine active security selection and risk management, striving to make the most of complex bond markets. MFS.com/active360.
That audio again, courtesy of the WNBA and also courtesy of CBSSN, CBS Sports Network. Again, the final score, the New York Liberty 116, the Las Vegas Aces 107. And again, history was made again. New York Liberty guard Sabrina Ionescu gets her third career triple-double, tying a WNBA record for the most career triple-doubles with Candace Parker. And she became the first WNBA player to record a 30-point triple-double. In his game, Sabrina finished with 31 points, 13 rebounds, and 10 assists. Also contributing in the win for the Liberty, Han Shu had 24 points. Natasha Howard finished with 18 points, and Stephanie Dolson and Maureen Johannes both finished with 11 points. Again, the final score, New York 116, Las Vegas 107. And we had action from Thursday, July the 7th, between the Chicago Sky squaring up against the Indiana Fever. Chicago would win 93-84. Emma Mieseman had 20 points. Azaree Stevens finished with 16 points. Allie Quigley had 13 points. And Candace Parker finished with 12 points. Again, the final score, Chicago 93, Indiana 84. We had the New York Liberty square off against the Phoenix Mercury. It was a close game, but Phoenix would win 84-81. For the Mercury, Diana Taurasi had 23 points. Also, Sophie Cunningham had 23 points. And Shea Petty and Skylar Diggins-Smith both had 13 points. Again, the final score, Phoenix 84, New York 81. And we had the Seattle Storm squaring off against the Los Angeles Sparks. It was all Seattle. Seattle would win 106-69. Brianna Stewart had 23 points. Tina Charles finished with 18 points. Jewel Lloyd had 16 points. Stephanie Talbot had 13 points. Gabby Williams had 11 points. And Ezzie Magbegor had a double-double with 10 points and 11 rebounds. Again, the final score, Seattle 106, the Los Angeles Sparks 69. And that was the week that was in the WNBA. Coming up a little bit later on in the show, we'll have highlights from the WNBA All-Star Weekend, including with the skills competition, the three-point shootout, and, of course, the All-Star Game. It was an exciting weekend for the WNBA All-Star Game. This All-Star Game was different this year. I think since 2020, when the wobble happened, the WNBA bubble, a lot of eyes have paid attention to the WNBA, and rightfully so, and it's good that this All-Star Game got a lot of attention, not just with the Brittany Griner situation, but most importantly just with how the league has grown and it's continued to grow. And we're going to have all the media and all of the audio bites from the media presser from this year's WNBA All-Star Weekend in just a moment. It was definitely a fun turnout for this year. If you didn't have a chance to watch it, we've got the highlights for you coming up a little bit later on in the program. But up next, we'll have the current league leaders. We'll also have the standings and the player of the week in the month, as well as coach and rookie of the month in the WNBA. That's coming up next. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to Striving for It All.
Aesthetic could be some kind of food allergy.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
It happened like that, a full-blown asthma attack. It was scary.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
a fever, headaches. I have these red, itchy welts.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had West Nile virus from a mosquito.
A reaction triggered by cockroach allergens.
Bed bugs.
Threats to your health can come from the most unexpected places. Mosquitoes can transmit West Nile virus and also Zika virus. Ticks can carry Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. And allergens from cockroaches can trigger asthma attacks, leading to respiratory distress. Don't wait until you or someone you love is suffering with unexplained symptoms. Get the facts you need to protect your family. Visit pestworld.org.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movement that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that, hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhpp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
Welcome to the tattoo, sir.
Let's go!
Dude, that's Sarah. The girl in the pink shirt, that's the girl I was telling you about.
Oh, that's Sarah?
Theater 2 on your left. Hey, Sarah. What color underwear today? Hey, Sarah. So when are you going to post something new?
Anything you post online, anyone can see. Family, friends.
See you later, Sarah.
Even not so friendly people. Think before you post.
right, everybody, welcome back to the program. All right, now it's time for the current league leaders in the WNBA through the midway point, or should I say through this first half of the WNBA season. Let's start off with points per game. The leading scorer currently in the WNBA is Breanna Stewart from the Seattle Storm. She's averaging 21 points per game. Coming in at number two is Kelsey Plum from the Las Vegas Aces. She's averaging almost 20 points per game. And third is Arike Ogunbowale from the Dallas Wings. And fourth is Kelsey Mitchell from the Indiana Fever. And fifth is Skylar Diggins-Smith from the Phoenix Mercury. Next category is rebounds per game. At number one is Asia Wilson from the Las Vegas Aces. She's averaging 10 rebounds a game. At number two is Sylvia Fowles from the Minnesota Lynx. She's averaging 9 rebounds per game. And coming in third is Jonquel Jones from the Connecticut Sun. And in fourth is Candace Parker from the Chicago Sky. And in fifth is Nelissa Smith from the Indiana Fever. Next category is assists per game. At number one, Natasha Cloud from the Washington Mystics. She's averaging 7 assists per game. At number two is Courtney Vandersloot from the Chicago Sky. And third is Sabrina Ionescu from the New York Liberty. And fourth is Chelsea Gray from the Las Vegas Aces. And in fifth is Sue Bird from the Seattle Storm. Next category is blocks per game. At number one is Ezzy Magbogor from the Seattle Storm. She's averaging 2.5 blocks per game. Coming in at number two is Asia Wilson. In third is Liz Cambage from the Los Angeles Sparks. In fourth is Queen Egbo from the Indiana Fever. And in fifth is Brianna Turner from the Phoenix Mercury. Next category that we have is field goal percentage. At number one is Sylvia Fowles from the Minnesota Lynx. She's currently shooting 64% from the field. At number two is Han Chu from the New York Liberty. She's shooting 57% from the field. In third is Nneka Ogwumike from the Los Angeles Sparks. In fourth is Brianna Jones from the Connecticut Sun. And in fifth is Ezzy Magbogor from the Seattle Storm. Next category is free throw percentage. We have a tie for first place. Allie Quigley from the Chicago Sky and Satu Sabali from the Dallas Wings. They're both currently shooting 93% from the free throw line. And coming in third is Sabrina Ionescu from the New York Liberty. And fourth is Shatori Walker-Kimbrough from the Washington Mystics. And in fifth is Shea Petty from the Phoenix Mercury. Next category is three-point percentage. At number one is Moriah Jefferson from the Minnesota Lynx. She's currently shooting 51% from three-point range. At number two is Jackie Young from the Las Vegas Aces. She's shooting 46% from three-point range. In third is Lexi Brown from the Los Angeles Sparks. In fourth is Destiny Henderson from the Indiana Fever. And in fifth is Maureen Johannes from the New York Liberty. Next category is minutes per game. At number one, Jackie Young from the Las Vegas Aces. She's played so far. She's averaged 34.2 minutes a game this season. At number two is her teammate from the Aces, Kelsey Plum. Coming in third is Skylar Diggins-Smith from the Phoenix Mercury. And then in fourth, Sabrina Ionescu from the New York Liberty. And in fifth is Brianna Turner from the Phoenix Mercury. Next category that we have is steals. Coming in at number one is Brittany Sykes from the Los Angeles Sparks. She's averaging over 2 steals per game. Coming in at number two is Breanna Stewart. In third is Nneka Ogwumike. In fourth is Skylar Diggins-Smith from the Phoenix Mercury. And also tied for fourth with Skylar is Ari McDonald from the Atlanta Dream. Those are your current league leaders at the moment in the WNBA through this first half of the season. Let's move along now to the award winners. The Player of the Week award for the week of June the 27th in the Eastern Conference belongs to Courtney Vandersloot from the Chicago Sky. And for the Western Conference is Nneka Ogwumike from the Los Angeles Sparks. Again, congratulations to the Eastern Conference Player of the Week for the week of June the 27th, Courtney Vandersloot from the Chicago Sky, and for the Western Conference, Nneka Ogwumike from the Los Angeles Sparks. The June Player of the Month belongs to Sabrina Ionescu from the New York Liberty. She represents the Eastern Conference. And the Western Conference Player of the Month for the month of June belongs to Breanna Stewart from the Seattle Storm. Again, congratulations to the Eastern Conference Player of the Month for the month of June, Sabrina Ionescu from the New York Liberty, and for the Western Conference, Breanna Stewart from the Seattle Storm. We move along now to the Rookie of the Month award winner for the second time this year. The Rookie of the Month award for the month of June goes to Ryan Howard from the Atlanta Dream. Ryan was the Rookie of the Month for the month of May, and she wins it again this time for the month of June. Congratulations to Ryan Howard from the Atlanta Dream winning the Rookie of the Month award for the month of June. And finally, the Coach of the Month award winner for the month of June goes to James Wade from the Chicago Sky. So again, congratulations to James Wade from the Chicago Sky becoming the Coach of the Month in the month of June. So congratulations to our award winners for the Player of the Week, Player of the Month, Rookie of the Month, and Coach of the Month. All right, before we go to commercial break, we're going to give you the current standings so far during the first half of the WNBA season. Let's start off in the Eastern Conference. The defending champion, Chicago Sky, have the best record in the WNBA with a record of 16-6. Meanwhile, in second place in the Eastern Conference is the Connecticut Sun. They have a record of 14-8. Coming in third place are the Washington Mystics with a record of 14-10. The Atlanta Dream are fourth with a record of 10-12. The New York Liberty currently are in fifth with a record of 9-13. And the Indiana Fever are in last place in the Eastern Conference with a record of 5-19. So again, the current standings in the Eastern Conference: in first place are the Chicago Sky with a record of 16-6. The Connecticut Sun are currently in second place with a record of 14-8. The Washington Mystics are third with a record of 14-10. The Atlanta Dream are fourth with a record of 10-12. The New York Liberty are fifth with a record of 9-13. And the Indiana Fever are last with a record of 5-19. Let's move along now to the Western Conference. The second best record in the WNBA belongs to the Las Vegas Aces. They're currently in first place with a record of 15-7. The Seattle Storm are second with a record of 15-8. The Los Angeles Sparks are third with a record of 10-12. In fourth place are the Dallas Wings. They also have a record of 10-12. The Phoenix Mercury are fifth with a record of 10-14. And the Minnesota Lynx are in last place with a record of 8-15. So once again, in the Western Conference, in first place are the Las Vegas Aces with a record of 15-7. The Seattle Storm are next with a record of 15-8. The Los Angeles Sparks are third with a record of 10-12. The Dallas Wings are in fourth place. They also have a record of 10-12. The Phoenix Mercury are currently fifth with a record of 10-14. And in last place are the Minnesota Lynx with a record of 8-15. So those are your current standings throughout the first half of the WNBA season. And with the second half beginning shortly, it definitely, those playoff races are going to heat up. Chicago, Connecticut, Las Vegas, and Seattle all look to maintain those leads in their respective conferences. But watch out for Washington. Washington has been hot, got really hot towards the end of the first half of the year. And don't sleep on Atlanta either. Atlanta's definitely been a force to be reckoned with the likes of Ryan Howard, Ari McDonald, of course, the Los Angeles Sparks, and definitely Dallas and Phoenix are definitely definitely teams to definitely be feared. So let's definitely pay attention to them as we march towards the second half of the WNBA season. All right, when we come back from the break, we have your full recap of the 2022 WNBA All-Star Weekend. That's coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to Striving for It All.
That it could be some kind of food allergy.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
It happened like that, a full-blown asthma attack. It was scary.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
a fever, headaches. I have these red, itchy welts.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had West Nile virus from a mosquito.
A reaction triggered by cockroach allergens.
Bed bugs.
Threats to your health can come from the most unexpected places. Mosquitoes can transmit West Nile virus and also Zika virus. Ticks can carry Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. And allergens from cockroaches can trigger asthma attacks, leading to respiratory distress. Don't wait until you or someone you love is suffering with unexplained symptoms. Get the facts you need to protect your family. Visit pestworld.org.
Introducing the crunchy, salty way to do Atkins. everything you love about chips without a ton of the net carbs you don't. Atkins Protein Chips are the salty and crunchy snack chips that won't sideline your nutritional goal. They're available in three classic flavors, cheddar cheese, ranch, and chipotle barbecue. And with 13 grams of protein and 4 grams of net carbs, this is savory snacking from today's Atkins. Now available on Amazon.
With the new Chevy Silverado, you might be driving in this. But with the Silverado's redesigned interior and large infotainment screens, it'll feel more like this. Introducing the new 2022 Chevy Silverado. Find new upgrades. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
Everybody, welcome back to the program. So before we get into the WNBA All-Star Game, what a weekend that it was. What a weekend it was, in the city of Chicago. When you think about Chicago, not just one of those great metropolitan cities, but also one of those great sports cities as well. And definitely Chicago showed up and showed out for this weekend's WNBA All-Star festivities. Let's start off with the Skills Challenge, where we had a list of great competitors. We had Ryan Howard from the Atlanta Dream, Sabrina Ionescu representing the New York Liberty, Jonquel Jones from the Connecticut Sun, Kelsey Plum representing the Las Vegas Aces. You also had Nalissa Smith from the Indiana Fever, Azra Ray Stevens representing the Chicago Sky. Her teammate Courtney Vandersloot participated as well. Then you had Jackie Young from the Las Vegas Aces. And definitely it was a hard-fought battle. And in the final, it was team Sabrina Ionescu squaring off against team Nalissa Smith, and team Ionescu would wind up winning the skills challenge for this 2022 WNBA All-Star game. I tell you what, if you had not had a chance to watch Sabrina Ionescu play during her college years at the University of Oregon, if you not had an opportunity to watch her play in the WNBA so far, I tell you what, you are missing out, because she is definitely a treat to watch, man, and she's definitely shining bright under the bright lights in Big City in the Big Apple in New York, actually playing at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Sabrina, along with her teammate Zoe Brooks, who plays for a youth team in Philadelphia, would go on to win this year's WNBA All-Star Skills Challenge competition. Here's Sabrina in action.
Zoe Brooks with the teal trim in the jersey, red for Flores. Pass goes through for Brooks. Took a moment for Flores. Brooks giving Sabrina a running start.
Keep an eye on Sabrina when she makes the pass. Is it going to be legit this time?
Oh!
No!
She's dragging forward a little bit. Being called down by Rebecca Lobo. Here's Sabrina on the other end with a layup. Now Sabrina's going to have time to knock down the three for the win. She got it!
Your WNBA Skills Champions are Sabrina Ionescu and Zoe Brooks.
And fitting, that was the fastest time of any duo today. Sabrina Ionescu and Zoe Brooks.
That audio courtesy of the WNBA, ESPN, and the Walt Disney Company. That was Ryan Rucco and Rebecca Lobo on the call. So Sabrina Ionescu and Zoe Brooks win the 2022 WNBA All-Star Skills Challenge competition. And Sabrina having a great season so far, great first half of the year. Here's Sabrina speaking briefly after winning the competition.
No, I don't think I've ever done any type of skill challenge like that. I think I've always watched it on TV and thought it was really cool, but I don't think I've ever been a part of it. So this was a first for me.
All right, again, that audio courtesy of the WNBA. So Sabrina just talking about never having the experience of competing in a skills competition until now, and definitely she didn't show it, being the consummate professional that she is. So again, congratulations to Team Ionescu, led by New York Liberty guard Sabrina Ionescu and Zoe Brooks, who plays for a youth team in Philadelphia, winning the 2022 WNBA All-Star Skills Challenge competition. We move along now to my favorite, the three-point contest. And in this contest, we had Ariel Atkins from the Washington Mystics, Ryan Howard from the Atlanta Dream, Arike Ogunbowale from the Dallas Wings, Jewel Lloyd from the Seattle Storm, Kelsey Plum from the Las Vegas Aces, and the defending champion, Allie Quigley, from the Chicago Sky. Man, this was a great contest from start to finish, but in the end, it would be Allie Quigley once again winning another WNBA three-point contest championship. Here's Allie in action.
The hometown Quigley from Chicago, playing it to Paul, a champion for the Sky. And Quigley puts in three on the first rack. Remember, her money ball rack is on that right wing. Quigley needs 21 to tie, 22 to win. Hits the money ball. Can she get a two zone? You bet! Quigley in prime position. Lethal. Quigley. Another money ball. Another two zone ball. Oh, yeah! Quigley is closing in. Her money rack. She got it! Allie Quigley has already clinched victory. This is all gravy. Icing from the corner for Allie Quigley. Why not? Quigley, perfection. The first ever four-time champion in NBA or WNBA three-point contest history.
All right, again, that audio courtesy of the WNBA, ESPN, and the Walt Disney Company. And that audio was commentary provided by Ryan Rucco. And he said it, Allie Quigley becomes the first four-time three-point contest champion in WNBA and in NBA history. If you know the history of the three-point contest, you know that Larry Bird and Craig Hodges were the only three-point contest champions to win that three-point shootout three times. Larry Bird and Craig Hodges were three-time three-point contest champions in NBA history. Allie Quigley won it three times in the WNBA, but with her winning this contest, she becomes the first four-time three-point contest champion in WNBA and NBA history. Remember, as I said earlier, Larry Bird and Craig Hodges won the three-point shootout contest three times, but Allie Quigley is the first four-time champion in this, I tell you what, in this great contest. And there have been some great shooters in both the WNBA and the NBA, and three-point shooting is a skill. It is an art, and not everyone can do it, but Allie Quigley has been one of the most consistent and one of the sharpest shooters in all of basketball. Here's Allie speaking after winning the shootout.
I think after the first round got that out of the way, I was feeling pretty good, and I was like, all right, this is your time, go for it. Yeah, it's definitely pretty cool to be in the history books with so many great shooters. Larry Bird, I don't know who else, but Larry Bird is enough for me. it just feels great to have that confidence from my coach and, you know, just everybody in Chicago, my teammates. They're always kind of hyping me up and letting me know, you know, how good of a shooter I am. So, you know, that really helps me and go out there and do what I do.
All right, so that audio courtesy of the WNBA. So, again, congratulations to Allie Quigley becoming the first four-time three-point contest champion in both the WNBA and NBA history. All right, before we get to the highlights of the All-Star game, we got to get to the sound bites from the press conference in this year's All-Star game. Let's start off with Sue Bird. What an amazing career that she has had. Her 13th All-Star appearance. It's a WNBA record. She talked about playing in her final WNBA All-Star game and how the All-Star game can continue to grow.
I mean, it's exciting to be at the All-Star game. You know, for me, the best part of All-Star is, yes, playing with your own teammates, but also getting to just spend time with some of the other players that you're usually competing against. So getting to know them, playing with them, like I said, those are some of my fondest memories. and I'm just going to try to enjoy it the same way this time. This particular All-Star marks, I think, a big change in terms of the excitement and the events surrounding the game. This is really the first year where we've had multiple parties where different brands are hosting different events. And last night, Brand Jordan had a party. They had a musical performer. I mean, these are the types of things that you see at other All-Star weekends, and that really hasn't been the case for us. We've usually had the WNBA always does like some sort of reception, but we're talking like parties. Like, people want to be seen at these parties. People want to go, and I think it really does mark a big difference in terms of the excitement. As far as the game goes, I have to admit, through the years, there's been, you know, some games have been better than others. Some hosts have been better than others. But for the most part, the standard for the actual game, the event, from a player perspective, it's been pretty consistent. I think it's been pretty high level and pretty consistent. Like I said, some better than others. But to me, it's the excitement around the game, like throughout the community. And I know it sounds silly, but the parties matter. I think they represent something different in like the world of cultural capital. So that's kind of exciting to see that happen this year, and I hope it continues.
All right, that audio courtesy of the WNBA. And Sue, as she said, there's been some All-Star games that have been better than others and have been some hosts that have been better than others. But she said that this was so different this year with the experience being in Chicago, not just a reception, but this was an All-Star weekend, a lot of festivities with parties and people wanting to take presents. So Sue has definitely seen the evolution of the All-Star game turn into really a weekend, and attention continue to be placed on the WNBA. And we go from Sue Bird to Sylvia Fowles. Sylvia was asked, has it hit her yet that this would be her last WNBA All-Star game? And she was also asked, what can be done to keep the momentum going for the league?
It hasn't hit yet. I think mainly because I'm just trying to be present in the moment and enjoy it. I know once it's all said and done, I'd probably be a big water bag, and who wants to do that every game? Not me. I think the foundation has been set with a lot of great players. Unfortunately, you got to see some of those leave at this point, but I think we have a young group of talent that's willing to do what's needed to be done, that's not going to shy away from the things that they want and the things that they believe in. And so I would say, just piggyback. Piggyback off these girls, listen to their thoughts, and see how can we make this thing grow in the next 25 years.
All right, again, that audio courtesy of the WNBA. And we mentioned Sue Bird earlier, and now Sylvia Fowles, just talking about the evolution of not just the WNBA, but the All-Star game and how to help the league continue to grow. And Sylvia speaking very well, as always, on about the evolution of the WNBA. Continuing with the media presser, Nneka Ogwumike, she shared her thoughts on a future WNBA All-Star game being played in Los Angeles and the joy of playing the All-Star game in different cities.
Man, I've been asking that question since I started. I love it when we are in new cities. I think it brings a fervor and an energy and a spotlight on the WNBA for people who may not know about it, for people who are avid fans. I think it's great to continue to keep the attention on the WNBA, given that the championship was won by this city last year. It's kind of like a perfect way to keep that energy going. I mean, I'm going to keep petitioning for it to be in L.A. I'm always keep petitioning for that. I would love, my dream is for All-Star to be a thing that players, like, who aren't necessarily immediately a part of it to want to come to, you know? And I think we can definitely get there. But so far, Chicago has been great. The weather has been lovely. I think that's always important. But the city, you can tell that they care about the Chicago sky here, and they have people that really want to know more about the W, and the business can grow. And I look forward to also having next year's All-Star be announced earlier so brands can activate.
All right, that audio again courtesy of the WNBA. Nneka Ogwumike is the president of the WNBA Players Association and someone who's always had a voice. Her voice is very strong, and it was extremely strong 2 years ago in the wobble with, it was the summer of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Jacob Blake, and definitely expressing her opinions about a WNBA game or WNBA All-Star game being played in the future in Los Angeles. I'm surprised LA has not hosted one as of yet. We know about the traditional New York and Connecticut. Las Vegas had it last year, but and then Chicago had it this year. It's interesting that LA has not had it as of yet. I know one thing, Los Angeles, the beautiful weather of Southern California, would definitely turn out a lot of people. Of course, LA being a celebrity driven town, and NECA, she says she's going to continue to push for Los Angeles to host the WNBA All-Star game in the future. Let's stay with the WNBA All-Star game being played in different cities. Skylar Diggins-Smith, she's in one that's never lost for words. She was asked about the WNBA All-Star game being played in different cities. And what cities would she like to see the WNBA expand to?
I think it's exciting, specifically this year, because obviously, you know, Chicago coming off a championship, just being able to garner that momentum for All-Star. They have a following, you know, their environment this year is noticeably tougher as far as fans coming out to support in the city. I love it here in Chicago. Obviously, it's close to home for me, being from South Bend, seeing some familiar faces. But, yeah, I think it's great just having them in the W cities. My first All-Star was in Phoenix. Like, that was new. That was different. Just exploring different W cities and different markets to capitalize on. I want to go to the Bay. I wouldn't mind going to the Bay. Or having enough. I'm just thinking selfishly of Miami, you know,
Miami.
Like Hawaii. Can Hawaii have a team? But obviously we need more teams. I think we have a lot of talent. It's a lot of talented women. It's a lot of teams and markets, I think, that want that love women's basketball, that have a great following. You talk about Tennessee and Knoxville or Nashville or something like that. Adding an additional
someone to South Bend.
South Bend could get a team, you know. But, yeah, obviously we know we need expansion. We keep hearing talks about that. That's something that's exciting. Maybe Toronto, you know, exploring a international, you know, market, but travel would probably be terrible. But, yeah, it would be great to have additional teams and, you know, just more talent to compete against.
Again, that audio courtesy of the WNBA. I definitely agree with Skylar on that one. The league needs to expand. It's time for an expansion. And I know at the beginning of the NBA Finals, Commissioner Adam Silver always gives a press conference about, and he's always asked about possible expansion. And, you know, he had mentioned briefly about the WNBA possibly expanding in different cities. It's amazing that the San Francisco Bay Area, well, San Francisco or maybe Oakland or San Jose, has yet to get a WNBA franchise. When I think of WNBA teams, San Francisco, that whole San Francisco Bay Area would definitely be logical, with a lot of money and a lot of the culture in that area, with Silicon Valley and the technology that it has there. I think it's definitely primed for and ready for a WNBA team. Skylar mentioned about Nashville. I think Nashville is a city that's definitely growing, the country music capital of the world. It's definitely a city that could definitely get a run for their money in the WNBA. And a city that I'm going to mention that I think could work in the WNBA, New Orleans. I think New Orleans would definitely be prime for a WNBA franchise. Let's not sleep on the Crescent City. Also, Philadelphia is a sports city as well, as definitely they're someone that could definitely have the chops to have a WNBA franchise in the future. But WNBA picking up more steam, there's definitely an option in the future to have an expansion where you can have two more cities, maybe four more cities. But that was Skylar giving her thoughts on cities within the WNBA All-Star game and also expanding the league. All right, let's get now to the 2022 WNBA All-Star game. Of course, very exciting. It's all about scoring points and just having fun out there. It was Asia Wilson, her team, Team Wilson, squared off against Brianna Stewart's team, Team Stewart. And Team Wilson would go on to beat Team Stewart 134-112. There were many highlights in this game, including Sylvia Fowles. Oh, she threw down a slam dunk in this game. Here's Sylvia in action.
With the hammer in her final All-Star game.
happened is incredible. She jumps out in double team, steals the ball, and just goes. It's harder on the right side, too, Ryan, coming down. I mean, come on.
All right, that audio courtesy of the WNBA, ABC, and the Walt Disney Company, Ryan Rucco and Rebecca Lobo on the call. And if you watched that live, Sylvia, I mean, when she did that dunk, the crowd went crazy. I mean, that crowd at Wintrust Arena in Chicago just went crazy in the contest when Sylvia did that dunk. And that again, what a swan song, too, in your final All-Star game. Just go hard. Just do what you have to do. And definitely Sylvia did that. You know, she says, my last All-Star game, and she was all alone, got a steal, dribbled the ball down to the other end of the court, dunked it with authority, and it was awesome. It was great. We'll have an interview from Sylvia coming up a little bit later. But Kelsey Plum, Kelsey would go on to win this year's WNBA All-Star Game MVP. She had 30 points, and she was phenomenal in this game. If Kelsey didn't have such a great game, I had Sabrina Ionescu winning the All-Star Game MVP if Kelsey didn't have such a great game. But Kelsey played big. She scored 30 points in this contest. Of course, she tied the All-Star Game record for most points in a game with Maya Moore. Maya Moore scored 30, and Kelsey Plum scores 30 as well. Here's Kelsey in action.
Looking for double-digit assists from Stuber today.
Yeah. Oh, Kelsey Plum. Little razzle-dazzle finish. What a season Plum has had for the Las Vegas Aces, averaging nearly 20 points per game. Plum, little step-back three. Oh, that is tough. For the Sky, who now have the best record in the WNBA, as Plum hits the three. As Plum goes around the back and in. As Plum buries the three. Plum going to go for the four-pointer?
She should.
I think she's going to. Plum from four. You bet! Kelsey Plum!
All right, that audio again courtesy of the WNBA, ABC, and the Walt Disney Company. Kelsey Plum was just phenomenal in this year's WNBA All-Star Game, finishing with 30 points, and she would win the 2022 WNBA All-Star Game MVP. Also, some other points, other points to pass along. In the box score, Jonquel Jones had a double-double, 29 points, 13 rebounds. Nneka Ogwumike finished with 12 points. Breanna Stewart had 14 points. Jewel Lloyd had 21 points. And Arike Ogunbowale finished with 11 points. So again, the final score in the 2022 WNBA All-Star Game, Team Wilson 134, Team Stewart 112. And, of course, we'll get to Kelsey, and also we've got some comments from Candace Parker. But first, we have to go to Sylvia Fowles for a moment. Sylvia was asked about the dunk. She was also asked about when was the last time she dunked, and she also talked about some other things briefly in this interview.
I don't know. I think I just heard, like, my teammates in the crowd, and I was like, okay, just go for it. 2008.
All right, that audio again, courtesy of the WNBA, ABC, and the Walt Disney Company. So Sylvia mentioned the last time she dunked in the game was 2008, and she just got going from the crowd. Her teammates were telling her to do it, and she did it, and the crowd just went absolutely wild, and it was just a phenomenal atmosphere at the Wintrust Arena in Chicago. Now here's Sue Bird giving her comments at the end of the game.
Oh, it's been amazing. The group behind me, both teams, it's so much fun to be around these players, and it's really cool knowing that Priscilla and I, yes, we're going out, but we're obviously leaving the game in some amazing hands. This might have been one of the best All-Star games in terms of just we got a dunk in. We got some other things happening. I won't say it, Plum. I know how it feels. So a lot of good stuff happened on the court, and it's exciting. I'm excited to be a fan. I mean, it was like a show watching Arike and Jewel late in the game. I thought, obviously, Kelsey getting MVP. We all knew that was going to happen. KP came out and did her thing. Sabrina hitting those late threes. We were trying to make a run. She hits those threes. But seriously, you can go down the list. Ryan Howard getting in, a first-time All-Star. It was amazing.
All right, that audio courtesy of the WNBA, ABC, and the Walt Disney Company, So Sue, giving her thoughts at the end of the game. Candace Parker. Candace Parker had a solid game, solid performance from her. Here's what she said at the end of the game.
Well, first, I want to say what Sylvia and Sue have meant to our game is just, I mean, you can't even describe it. The way that they pushed our game forward. And then I also want to give a shout out to Chicago, because I know I'm partial, but I think this was a damn good All-Star game. So thank you for showing up, Chicago. To be able to come back to a place where I first started playing basketball is unbelievable, to bring my family, my friends, and everything like that. But the group we have, I mean, to play against some of these people and then to be on their team and to be able to represent Chicago day in and day out is amazing. So thank you, everyone. Thank you for showing up, and we're going to make it better, even better next year.
Again, that audio courtesy of the WNBA, ABC, and the Walt Disney Company. Candace Parker representing her hometown of Chicago, and just very excited that this year's game was played in her hometown and for the team she plays for, being the Chicago Sky. And, of course, we have to get to this year's 2022 WNBA All-Star Game MVP, Kelsey Plum. What a performance she has. She scored 30 points, of course, tying the record for most points scored in an All-Star game with Maya Moore. Maya scored 30 points in the 2015 WNBA All-Star game. Maya was the MVP in that game. Here's Kelsey at the end of the game.
But the MVP for the AT&T 2022 WNBA All-Star goes to Kelsey Plum with 30 points, 3 assists, and 2 rebounds.
I'm just grateful to be here. Man, I've just been on a journey individually, and I'm just grateful to God. My family's here supporting me. An amazing team. We get to honor Syl and Sue on their way out. It's just been a great weekend. You know, God doesn't give you anything you can't handle, and I think for me, that was the best kind of thing that could happen to me. I got to reset mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and I'm here, and I feel great.
Oh, I can't even say it. I was like, holy. It was crazy. She got up and flushed it, and then she pinned it on the backboard the next play. She's unbelievable.
This is great, but none of this matters unless we win. So that's what we're trying to do.
All right, that audio courtesy of the WNBA, ABC, and the Walt Disney Company. And Kelsey Plum, what a wild ride she's been through in her early part of her WNBA career. Coming in riddled by injuries the first several years of her career, but last year really making some noise. And, you know, Kelsey winning the WNBA Sixth Woman of the Year last year, and this year she is an MVP candidate. Right now she's my pick to win the league MVP this year. She has been outstanding and then some. And what can you say about Kelsey? Again, she's had a rough road trying to bounce back from injuries, tearing an ACL, as you heard in the soundbite. She says she's had to find a way to bounce back mentally, physically, and spiritually, and God won't put anything on you that you can't handle. And definitely Kelsey is someone that has handled the adversity. She's handled the challenges, and so far so good. She's her hard work, she's reaping the benefits of her hard work, winning this year's WNBA All-Star Game MVP, and hopefully continuing to ride on that success going into the second half of the WNBA season. Again, the final score in this year's WNBA All-Star Game, Team Wilson 134, Team Stewart 112. All right, when we come back from the break, we'll give you games, upcoming games for the week in the WNBA. Stay tuned. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to Striving for It All.
Children and families, we do everything we can to play it safe. Did you know? The single best way to help safeguard from flu and reduce the spread of the flu virus is through annual vaccination. Families Fighting Flu is devoted to protecting your family against this serious and potentially deadly disease. Our commitment comes from our organization's personal experiences. I lost my 5-year-old healthy son, Joseph, to the flu. The flu poses a serious risk to everyone, from the young to the elderly. But we know that flu vaccines can save lives. Increasing the number of flu vaccinations by just 5% could prevent nearly 800,000 illnesses and 10,000 hospitalizations. Help keep your family and your community safe. Together, we can fight the flu. Get yourself and your family vaccinated this year and every year. For facts and tools, visit familiesfightingflu.org.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Now let's give you the upcoming games for the week in the WNBA. Let's start off with Tuesday, July the 12th. We have the Dallas Wings going up against the Seattle Storm. Tip-off is at 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, 12 p.m. Pacific. We have the Las Vegas Aces going up against the New York Liberty. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central Time. The Phoenix Mercury square off against the Minnesota Lynx. Tip-off is at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central Time. The Atlanta Dream square off against the Chicago Sky. Tip-off is at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central Time. And we have the Washington Mystics squaring off against the Los Angeles Sparks. Tip-off is at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 9:30 p.m. Central Time, 7:30 p.m. Pacific. Let's move along now to Wednesday, July the 13th. The Connecticut Sun square off against the Indiana Fever. Tip-off is at 12 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central Time. Let's move along now to Thursday, July the 14th. We have the Las Vegas Aces squaring off against the New York Liberty. Tip-off is at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central Time. The Dallas Wings square off against the Minnesota Lynx. Tip-off is at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central Time. The Washington Mystics square off against the Phoenix Mercury. Tip-off is at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. Also, we have the Chicago Sky squaring off against the Los Angeles Sparks. Tip-off is at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 9:30 p.m. Central Time, 7:30 p.m. Pacific. We move along now to action on Friday, July the 15th. The Minnesota Lynx square off against the Indiana Fever. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central Time. The Connecticut Sun square off against the Atlanta Dream. Tip-off is at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central Time. We move along now to Saturday, July the 16th. The Chicago Sky square off against the Dallas Wings. Tip-off is at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central Time. And then on Sunday, July the 17th, we have the Las Vegas Aces squaring off against the Connecticut Sun. Tip-off is at 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Central Time, and that game will be carried on ABC. We have the Minnesota Lynx squaring off against the Washington Mystics. Tip-off is at 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central Time. We have the Atlanta Dream squaring off against the Phoenix Mercury. Tip-off is at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Pacific. And then we have the Indiana Fever squaring off against the Seattle Storm. Tip-off is at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Pacific. And that's your upcoming games for the week in the WNBA. Big special thank you to you, the listeners out there, for tuning into this edition of Striving for It All. Until next time, I'm Ed Robinson, saying so long.